There are things that we experience but never talk about. A shadow moving in a corner. Flickering of the lights. A disembodied voice. We invite you to talk with us. Share your story. Share your evidence. Because this isn't just your story. This is our story. This is Ghost Box Radio.
And this is Ghost Box Radio on AM 950, where every week we talk about the paranormal, ufology, Bigfoot, or just the unusual. My name is Greg Bakken, and thank you very much for joining me today. You know, this has been a very busy weekend for me. In fact, we're doing a pre-record right now, so some of you might be actually watching me on Facebook. That's, you know, back in time, so to speak. But this weekend was pretty crazy. We did an investigation of the Grant House in Rush City, Minnesota, and we streamed it live, and we had thousands upon thousands of people watch it this weekend. And I'll tell you, that place is legit. Not only, and I don't even necessarily mean spirit-wise, I just mean what they did with the place. They it's just immaculate. It's beautiful. They're still doing some more work on it. But I just want to do a shout-out to the Grant House in Rush City, to Becky, who helped put us all together to do this. This had been absolutely a fantastic weekend. And I know right now that it's now open for investigations. It's not like a group can go there and investigate. She's going to have special things going on in the future that's going to allow people to do that special little, events and whatnot. But if you want to just go there and stay there, and I really recommend that you do so, check them out on Airbnb, and you're not going to be disappointed. So I just wanted to really throw that out there. But, you know, I could tell you about ghost stories. I could tell you about my ghost story of the weekend, but we're going to save that. And we're going to talk to somebody whose job it is to actually talk to people about their ghost stories, which makes it absolutely wonderful. Tony Bruschi is heard every day around the world in thousands of homes, cars, and offices through his incredibly popular podcasts, Real Ghost Stories Online, The Grave Talks, and The Dark Side of Wikipedia. Real Ghost Stories Online is an exciting and often chilling mix of true ghost stories as recounted by the people who experience them. And over the last 8 years, the show has accumulated enough stories to officially be known as the largest audio archive of ghost stories in history, which is really, really incredible. The show is often referred to as group therapy for paranormally affected, as thousands find comfort and support of the like-minded community that has discovered their show. Tony lives in the Ozark Mountains and is with his daughter, and thankfully no ghosts haunting their homes, just the stories sent to them every day. Tony, welcome to Ghost Box Radio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. I was jamming out to your mic and the mechanics at the beginning because I love the music of the 80s and 90s.
Were you super bummed out when my voice came on then? You're like, oh, that's right. We're doing this show.
I was going to start singing like really loud. But I shouldn't do that.
Honestly, no one's stopping you, Tony. No one's stopping you. So please, please go ahead. You know, I find it very interesting. First of all, how's the Ozarks treating you? It sounds amazing.
It's great. I love it here. I mean, I'm not from this area. I'm originally from Wisconsin. But this area, it reminds me a lot of my home in Wisconsin without cold weather. I mean, there are some, but it's not like these 6 months of freezing that, you know, you have up in Wisconsin and Minnesota and all of that. But I love it here. It's beautiful. Lots of nice people and lots of good, ghost stories and stuff, too, in the area.
Well, and I was, we're friends on Facebook, and I've been enjoying, you posted, I think sometime last week or something, picture of some delicious looking pasta. And yeah. I'm a big food fan. So it was just really nice, I always feel self-conscious when I'm posting pictures of pasta, or not even pasta. You're the pasta man. I just post pictures of whatever I'm cooking. And I'm sure there's those people out there that's just like, come on, really? But, it looked really good. Do you like to cook a lot?
Yeah, I mean, in a former life, before I was doing the ghost show, I ran a food blog, and I also had a show on Travel Channel where it was focused on food and different cities and all of that stuff. So I'm a big foodie, but I just basically cook now for my family, for my daughter and my girlfriend.
So, and your daughter could be your toughest critic, I suppose.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
she is, but she luckily gives me the most praise, so that's good.
that is good. Yes. So here's the thing. Okay, the first thing I was curious about, because you've created this sort of ghost story empire. Okay, mm-hmm. And you know, I have to ask, where do you fit in the paranormal spectrum, though? Are you somebody who is just collating these stories and listening and taking active part in other people's ghost stories? Or do you yourself have a keen interest in, like, being an investigator or experiencing those phenomena?
You know, I have had my own share of stories, nowhere near, I think, the level of some of the stories that I've heard over the years. But since I was a small child, I wanted to be a Ghostbuster. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I wanted to do is be on the radio. I actually have a cassette tape of me when I was 2 years old playing what was called, I called Ghostbuster Radio. So this is like 1984, 85. And wouldn't you know, all these years later, I somehow managed to turn that into my career. So I do enjoy the topic. I really don't do much investigating at all. I like going out every now and then with somebody if, like, somebody's coming through town or they want me to go and, you know, go along with them. But my main thing is just kind of sitting here in the studio and hearing the stories, curating them, talking about them, you know, being someone who can kind of facilitate the stories and other people's experiences to others, so they don't feel so alone. When somebody comes to you and says, "I had this happen, it's really bizarre, I feel really alone, has anyone else had this?" Because I've heard so many darn stories over the years, it's easy for me to say, okay, you're not alone. There's other people who had something similar, and I can relate maybe how they handled it, what went on with it. Every once in a while, you still get the one that's like, "Never heard that before," mm-hmm. but that gets to be more and more rare as time goes on. So I guess I'm kind of like, you know, the Casey Kasem of ghost stories, where I'm not singing the songs on the countdown. I'm just, you know, talking about the songs on the countdown.
Well, remember, there's still enough time in this show for you to sing. I mean, you did bring it up, so
well, there may be a time. We'll see if I can break into something, but the mood has to strike me.
So let's go back to this. Well, what were you, like, 8, 10 years old or something in 1984 when you're doing your
four? Actually, no, I was actually 2 and a half when that first recording happened. But I was born in 82, so in 84, 85, that tape, I was about 2 or 3 making it. And then I basically played radio station my entire childhood. Started working in commercial radio, FM radio around Wisconsin when I was 14. Mm-hmm. Did that up until about 8 years ago, and then started the podcast and left regular FM radio.
So what is it about the idea of ghosts, that the spirit, paranormal, any of that? What does specifically appeal to you about it?
You know, I think for me, it kind of gives, for most, it's like it's a scary, horrible thing. But for me, it almost gives me a warm, fuzzy feeling. One of my favorite holidays as a kid was Halloween. I always just loved going out and exploring and seeing the unknown. Mm-hmm. As a kid, excuse me, obviously Ghostbusters was a big thing. But there was, in my parents' backyard, a giant woods, forest, really. And as a child, I'd go wander back into the forest and just explore. And I would, you know, find different artifacts or things that people left in there. And for the most part, you know, it was nothing paranormal. But as you kept digging deep into the woods, eventually you would end up in the back of this gigantic cemetery. Mm. It was called Ryanzi Cemetery in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. And it was just so creepy and cool. And I just loved the atmosphere of everything kind of spooky. So I would wander back there as a kid with my plastic proton pack on, and then I'd get into the cemetery and pretend I was busting ghosts. I was an only child, mind you, so this is just a lone child wandering through the forest into a cemetery with a proton pack. And people in there visiting the graves and their loved ones and all that. And then there I am on the other side pretending I'm busting their dead loved ones. For me, it was always just the adventure, the fun. I think just the atmosphere of it. I was a kid who would watch Unsolved Mysteries, you know, every week when it came on. Loved the ghost episodes. Anytime I could hear ghost stories or learn about them or drive by the local haunted house in my hometown, it just always just drew me in. And it was something that has always been there. I never in my wildest dreams thought I would have a way to turn this into like my career. But somehow, you know, with the advent of podcasting and all that, it's opened itself up.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I like the fact that you kind of allude to that. It doesn't need to be, you know, horrific or anything like that, you know, that there's multiple sides to it. And, you know, what is your take on the TV shows these days? Do you feel like that is very one-sided, or do you not even bother with the TV shows?
You know, I honestly don't watch many of the TV shows. I know there's some good ones out there. It's one of those, I think you kind of got to take it show by show. I think some, you know, it's television. So there's a lot of production work that goes into it.
Yeah.
And by the time the people who are on camera, you know, by what actually hits the screen, that's not really half the time their choice unless they're the producer. The producer is the one who's going to go, we got to do this. And the network's coming back saying, well, we need more of this, more of that. So they're going to insert whatever that network demands to make it as spooky or whatever they need for what they're wanting. So what actually happens and what makes the cut, you know, is probably two totally different things. So I think there's some good ones out there. I think there's some that are super overproduced, and it is what it is. You got to make good television. But I do watch a little bit of Kindred Spirits because my daughter loves it, but I really haven't gotten into many of the other ones. And again, not to say that there's anything, you know, wrong or bad. It's television. You got to make it, you know, interesting for the audience. But I, for the most part, just don't watch much of it.
No, that makes sense. We're going to go ahead, take our first break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Tony Bruschi, who produces podcast Real Ghost Stories Online, Grave Talks, and The Dark Side of Wikipedia. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken, and today our guest is Tony Bruschi, who is doing wonderful work, doing multiple podcasts that have to do with paranormal and other things that are unknown, Real Ghost Stories Online, The Grave Talks, and The Dark Side of Wikipedia. And Tony, the first one was Real Ghost Stories Online, and what brought you to that?
It was really, it all kind of started back when I was doing the food blog and the TV show on travel. I would take the audio from my FM radio show on Halloween. I would always do local ghost stories. Mm-hmm. And I just compiled it all and threw it onto YouTube. And I you know, thought, oh, this is kind of a fun thing to throw out there for the audience of the food shows. And it turned out when I went and looked at the views, the ghost stories were getting hundreds of thousands of views, like far beyond the food stuff. And I thought, wow, this is, you know, there's an audience for this. And at the time, there really wasn't a ton of ghost podcasts out there. There was, you know, maybe two or three that were really kind of going. And I would always listen to old reruns of Art Bell.
Yes.
And thought, you know, I love listening to this stuff when I'm working on projects around the house. And I think there's another market to do a show about ghosts that's not super, I guess, technical or serious. I wanted to do one that was more fun and more laid back, kind of like a morning show that talks about ghosts. Mm-hmm. And no one was doing that at the time. So I just thought, let's try it. So I went into my office one day, just started recording a show, started throwing it out there on a weekly basis. no intention of like this going anywhere other than let's just see what happens. And then people started calling and writing, and it just kind of took off by itself. And I was amazed. And it just kind of went from there. And the audience is obviously what drives it. And we've had just tremendous support, such authentic listenership, and just genuine people that listen and share their stories and their feedback over the last 8 years. But that's where it all began. It was just, my gosh, people are watching this on YouTube and seem to really like it. Let's try and make a show out of it. And now there's, you know, hundreds of podcasts on the topic, but there's a few of us who've been around for a while. Myself, you know, Dave Schrader,
yep.
Let's see, Campfire, with, I'm horrible with names. I always forget.
Nope. I know who you're talking about. It's, yeah. Starts with a J.
Jim Harold.
Yep. I can't believe I couldn't think of it either. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the three of us were kind of the ones that really push the genre on podcasting to begin with. But, you know, those are great guys. And all of us kind of do our own unique version of the topic.
And it has to be kind of, I mean, you got in at the right time because like you alluded to, there's a lot out there now and you're on one right now. And, you know, it's kind of the question of what do you bring to the table, especially if you're new, what do you bring that is different than what's out there? Because there is that gambit, isn't there, of super technical to really getting a deep dive to people who don't want to go that far into it. They just want to hear stuff. And sometimes people just want to hear scary. Sometimes they want to have people who are enlightened by stories. So there's so much that could be covered in this.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there really is. And it's all about, you know, what you're wanting to look for. And that's the amazing thing about podcasts is you can dissect a genre into 50 different areas. So if someone really wants, you know, the super technical, let's talk about equipment shows, they're out there. If you just want to, you know, hear human beings just laid back talking about their experiences in a very authentic way, that's kind of what we do. And I know a couple others do too. But it's all about, you know, what are you comfortable with? What do you want to hear? And that's what I like to do. I almost view it as, you know, it's almost like therapy. Like we kind of joke where it's group therapy for the paranormally affected. Mm-hmm. So in some ways I feel like I'm Dr. Fraser Crane talking about ghosts times, but then I'll break, you know, we'll make horrible jokes and do other things. But it's a laid back way. It's a very safe place to share the stories without being judged.
Right. And you know, when you're doing your stories, when you're getting people on, do you find that it works better to find people who are not part of paranormal teams to tell the stories? You know, just so that it's every position is unique. They're not necessarily looking for the spirits, but they're the spirits are encountering them.
When people can share their authentic stories, not necessarily the investigation stories,
right?
But what have they experienced in their life? Those are my favorites. When on the Grave Talks, that's the show where I tend to interview a lot of investigators or mm-hmm. people who have just had the experiences themselves. And half the time when I have investigators on, I really don't want to hear about the investigations. What I want to, because oftentimes the investigator has a story that drew them into that direction, that drew them into investigating. So what I like to do there is I want to hear their story. I want to hear how did they get into it? Why did they get into it? What was their life story? And we can end up talking for a whole hour about somebody's, you know, haunted childhood home and almost having this therapeutic session as they work through things that they may not have ever worked through before. And that makes for great radio. That makes for a great podcast because it's someone that's really sharing what drove them to have that interest or that passion and why is it there? And I think that to me is more exciting than just I went to this building and investigated it. And those are great stories too sometimes,
yep.
But
yep.
The more human aspect is what I'm interested in more than anything else.
It's interesting that you say that because, you know, we do a lot of pre-COVID, we did a lot of, events and whatnot. And every single time you'd do an event, you'd get somebody in there who's expecting to just be part of the event, be part of whatever that story is of that building. But then something personal is going to happen to them that is mm-hmm. has nothing to do with the location, but some spirit from their past, a relative or something else comes through. And that's something that, you know, that's what it's kind of, you know, I feel like in the same vein of what that is, because it keeps things, it's very it makes it very unique to that person. And it's like you said, it's sure we're going in there to talk to a spirit that's attached to, say, the Mounds Theater or something, but suddenly somebody's and this really happened, somebody's unborn child came through. And, you know, that's suddenly like that changes the dynamic of everything. It's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. It's one of those things where, you know, you never know what's going to happen in those conversations. But when you start diving into it, that's where it gets really exciting.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, I just find, you know, the idea that you're talking to so many people, people reach out to you after they've been listening to these podcasts and say, you know what, I have something that I feel like that that would be good for your show. Is that generally how you get people on?
Every single day I get letters where it's, you know, sharing their own personal stories or their calls, sharing their stories. The way that I honestly get people on, is quite often just through Facebook. When I'm networking with people, cause it always goes, hey, you should be friends with this person or that person. And quite often I'll just reach out cold to somebody that I see is either in the field or has a story that they've told somewhere. And I'll just say, hey, I'd love to have you on to hear your story. And that's really just kind of how I find people at random. And of course, I have my favorite guests that I talk to on a fairly regular basis.
Sure.
And hear their updates on investigations and things of that nature. Sometimes it's, you know, just tracking down somebody where you heard about their story from somebody, or maybe they were on some TV show or this or that. But it's, you know, there's different ways to curate and find those guests. But again, quite often it's just it kind of comes to you.
We're going to take our next break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Tony Bruschi. We're going to talk about some of his other podcasts that he's doing. There's a lot to talk about here. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. And don't forget, every Sunday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on both my Facebook profile page and my Ghostbox Radio Facebook page, which is facebook.com/MNGhostbox, you can see me do a live spirit box session where I try to reach out to your loved ones. I did one last night that we brought out, and it was intense. And that's not why we do it. It's not meant to be intense per se, but there was a lot of activity coming through. And we reached out to a number of people's loved ones, and that was pretty incredible. So if it's something that interests you, I recommend check us out. It's every Sunday night at 10 p.m. on my personal profile page, but also on MN Ghost Box and Parafriends Events, as well as Paranormal United Network and Paranormal Warehouse. So a lot of places to go check it out. Also, if you want to send me a note, ask me a question or need my help for any paranormal investigation, or if you want to advertise on my show, if you feel like this is a good fit, please send me a note, greg@ghostboxradio.com. You can reach out to me. There is wonderful ways for your business to advertise with me, and I guarantee it's going to be great. So please reach out to me, greg@ghostboxradio.com. Also, if you miss Ghostbox Radio with Greg Bakken live, AM 950 replays these episodes Saturday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, or you can listen anytime by going to Spotify or iTunes and download it as a podcast. After listening, please leave a positive review for my show. That would help me out very, very much. We are continuing our conversation with Tony Bruschi. He has a number of podcasts out that are great: Real Ghost Stories Online, The Grave Talks, and The Dark Side of Wikipedia. And I want to talk about that one, if I may, Tony. The Dark Side of Wikipedia. Sure. That's a newer one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been around for about a year now is where we're at.
Okay. And so what is this? Because I have not listened to it, but I mean, sure. I mean, I could only imagine, and I have a feeling this is pretty awesome.
Well, how often, you know, do you sit around and you're watching a TV show or like an investigation, discovery, murder show, and you're like, I wonder what more is there to the story? And then you start Googling and you end up inevitably on the Wikipedia page for the murderer, and you just kind of get lost in that rabbit hole of that.
So much so.
I do that all the time. And I thought one day, well, this could be a podcast. So essentially what it is we take the Wikipedia entries. Sometimes if the entry's not large enough, we'll supplement it with some news articles about the story, and then basically just work through it. We literally read the Wikipedia entry from start to finish and kind of break it into chapters. And me and my co-host then will discuss the case and the story kind of as we go through it, chapter by chapter, and just kind of dive into the psychology of some of the craziest, scariest, weirdest, disturbing people, places, events in history, going, all the way back, to like H.H. Holmes to Jeffrey Dahmer to, somebody, Jeffrey Epstein. And we'll just dive into all of that and just kind of have a conversation about those cases. And it makes for just really interesting perspective and a dive into all of those cases.
Yeah, that has to be kind of dark too, right? I mean, when you're done, are you just kind of like sad for a while or?
What is disturbing to me about doing that show is sometimes you'll read a story and you'll go through it and then you'll start to kind of identify some of the traits of the horrible person in it. And you go, oh God, I think there's somebody like that in my life, but they haven't reached the point of like murdering their family yet.
As long as it's not you going, that kind of sounds like me, I should change some things in my life. I have an idea for you. You're doing the podcast. Do a YouTube one and call it The Dark Side of Google Maps. And, where you have those weird pictures. You're like, what is that person dragging on the dock that the camera came over and took it at the right time? What is that? There's some really bizarre things out there. And you're like,
well, yeah, that's a great idea. That's funny.
I mean, and that's the weird thing about it. And at the time that you started your podcast and stuff, stuff like Wikipedia probably had just been kind of starting out, and it's just amazing the wealth of information, whether it's accurate or not. That's always the question when it comes to certain places. But I mean, just that wealth, like you said, it is a rabbit hole. You're putting out a number. I mean, I'm looking at your schedule just for like Real Ghost Stories Online, and you're just pounding them out. And you just think about just paranormal in itself. I mean, how do you keep up, right? I mean, it's there's so much out there, and it's just trying to make sure that you're staying, not even relative, because that's not the point, but just being able to make sure that people are getting your message that you are there. Attracting new people. I mean, do you find that difficult at all?
I don't, because I come from the world of radio where we'd sit in a studio for 5 hours every single day and have to have content for those 5 hours every single day. Mm-hmm. So knocking out, a podcast is usually about a half hour of work. And it's, to me, it's like, it's a breeze because I have that I guess experience and another word for it other than like work ethic of radio, where I needed to push that much out, that much content, live on a daily basis. So it's not hard for me to knock out, we do about 5 shows a week on Real Ghost Stories Online, the other ones about 3 on each show. So and when you love what you do and you're so interested in the topic, to me, it's just like playing. It's like I'm going into my studio and I'm just going to play with audio. And I'm going to, luckily, we have a lot of our content just kind of fed to us by the listeners with their stories. So I'm not having to do a ton of research because it just check my inbox and here's a bunch of stories and make sure they're airable. and then that's it. And I just go to air with them and we discuss. Dark Side, the content's there through Wikipedia. I have to find what we're going to talk about. But a lot of it just kind of comes to you. And it's just such a fun topic for me. And I have such a genuine interest. I just feel like I'm doing my hobby all the time. And somehow I found a way to monetize it and make it, support me and my family.
Right. Right. And well, when you're saying that, I'm adding up the hours in my mind. So you're telling me you work, 6 hours a week and then you spend the rest of the time in your Ozarks. Is that what I'm getting from this?
No, I mean, there's the creation of the show and then there's, there's the marketing, there's the posting, there's the editing, there's the graphics, there's the run the websites.
And that was my question. But that was my question originally was like, how do you stay ahead of that curve that gets people? Yeah, that's the part that I thought is like, that has to be difficult.
It is. I mean, but it's my full-time job, so I don't have another thing I have to go to and then, right. You know, juggle this on the side. So, you know, every day I kind of work at it. I can do stuff. Luckily, you know, I can work on my phone. I can work in my house. I can work anywhere, really. So I kind of have my routine of what I'm doing every week. And I try and stay ahead of the curve and do episodes, you know, fairly in advance, couple weeks, sometimes months in advance. So you have a hiccup in life, you get sick, you got something you got to go to. I can take a down week, you know, and it's not going to ruin, you know, the show. We're not going to go off the air. There's always going to be content.
I work in advertising. I work at an advertising agency here in town. And, you know, the thing that I find most satisfying as well as most important is the idea of the brand, your personal brand, to be able to do that. And, you know, you've done it now a couple times, but, you know, and you're tying it together and your name itself is a brand. I mean, there's something really satisfying about seeing something that you created and just see it grow into something that you give people enjoyment.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. And that's what I love more than anything is, you know, giving the enjoyment and giving people an escape, because obviously we've had a crazy year. Everybody has. And I mean, even before that, everybody's got life and everything is, you know, so stressful. But having that escape, and then also, you know, on the topic of this, these can be very difficult things to talk about with friends, family, if they're talking about them at all. And having that outlet for them to be able to share and not be judged has been incredibly important. But I'll be honest, you know, I get letters at least probably once a month, and it's something, and it blows my mind, but I feel so fortunate and lucky that I could be there for people. I've had letters where it's, you know, hey, thank you. I was in a really dark place. I almost ended it, but I sat down and just started listening to your show the other night, and I didn't feel so alone, and I changed my mind. Several letters over the years, and it just blows my mind. It's like, really? Me just talking about ghost stories, like, did that for you? Like, that's amazing. I'm so happy that, you know, we can be that for people and be another voice and an escape and someone who's accepting of what they've gone through. I got, you know, friends. One of my our biggest listeners is a New York City police officer, and we become friends, and he texts me all the time, kind of telling me the horrible things that he sees every day. And he's like, I just can't wait to get home and just listen to the show and just take a load off and escape. So those are the reasons I do it more than anything else. Just if I provide that escape for somebody and make their day better, that's what it's all about.
That's incredible. And you are, you know, being able to help change people's lives too, which is, you know, pretty amazing. Not everyone has that, you know, everyone can do that, but not everyone has that ability on a big scale like that. Now, because I haven't listened to all of the podcasts, you know, when you have people come on to Real Ghost Stories Online, do you ever run into people who want to be anonymous about their stories?
Sure. Yeah. Get that all the time. And that's totally welcome. And no one needs to say who they are.
Yeah. No. And it makes sense. I mean, because some of these are very traumatic for them, isn't it? I mean, it's just, and like you said earlier, it stays with them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, these are very difficult things, especially what we see quite often is homes that are filled with drama and trauma and all of that, especially when you hear stories of like childhood hauntings. Quite often the ones that are really bad, the homes themselves take paranormal out of the equation.
Yeah.
They were filled with a lot of sadness, a lot of dark things, depression, anxiety, everything that, you know, was plaguing the family. And then probably in many cases, abuse as well. So where it's not always easy to go on the air and say, yeah, this happened and my dad was beating me or this or that. You know, nobody wants to really, you know, say that out loud in many cases, but they do want to get their story out and they want to be heard. And that's where the nice thing comes in, where people can remain anonymous, but still have that outlet to share their story and be heard.
That's incredible. Yeah. No, I think that is, that's truly something. And I'm really, really happy to see that there's been that it makes such a big difference. You get people following up after they hear the stories with like ideas for those people to help, to get help that they need, mm-hmm. whether it's paranormal or whether it's just like you said, sometimes it's beyond paranormal. Hey, I know someone who specializes in this. Why don't you reach out to them?
We do, and we actually have a group Facebook page for Real Ghost Stories Online, and that tends to be where a lot of people, after a show airs, they'll jump on there, and they'll like, hey, you know, that story on X date, I just wanted to give some insight to them. So people comment there and kind of begin their own conversations, and I'll check it out every now and then. But a lot of times it's just, that's a circle of where the listeners can kind of get together and, you know, commiserate and share their experiences back and forth and, you know, give their advice to one another.
We're going to take our last break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Tony's other podcast, Grave Talks, and we're going to finish our conversation. You are listening to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. And welcome back to Ghost Box Radio on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. My name is Greg Bakken, and we have on as a guest today, we have Tony Bruschi. We've been talking about Real Ghost Stories Online. We've been talking about the dark side of Wikipedia. These are podcasts that Tony does. He does a third one, The Grave Talks. And I left this for the end because, as it happens, I am a guest, unless you've canceled it, I am a guest on the show that drops the week of the 29th of March, right?
I believe so, yes.
Now, I've been on your podcast before, and the Grave Talks, as we talked about earlier, that seems to be the one where you bring on investigators more so, right? And you're talking about places and situations, right?
Yeah, investigators or just the people who were involved with maybe it's the person who actually had the haunting themselves in their home sharing their experiences.
Sure. My episode, we talk about the Villisca Axe Murder House. We talk about a number of years ago when I went there and the effect that it has on me. And I say has because it still does to this day to a certain extent. We talk about that. And, you start talking, you know, it's a weird experience, Tony, when you're sitting there talking about your own haunted experience. And at first you're just like, you know, when I'm saying this, it sounds so crazy. And I'm sure you hear that all the time from people when they're recalling their stories, because it's like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah. It is. I mean, the stories sometimes, when someone can just sit down and talk about it, is sometimes, you know, much scarier than anything you're going to see on video. It's scarier than, just someone. It's one of the most authentic ways, I think, of communicating. An example that I have that stood out to me early on in the show, I talked to Andrea Perrin.
Yes.
One of the women, she was a child at the time, who was in the Conjuring she was portrayed in. She was one of the children in that family. And the conversation I had with her, it was very early on. I think I was one of the first people who interviewed her. And she recounted what happened in that house. And that conversation was scarier than the movie.
Yes.
And it was just amazing to hear it. And I've talked to other people have been involved with like Amityville Horror and things of that nature. Laura DiDio was one of my guests, and that was a great interview. She was the reporter for, I think it was Channel 5 back then. She went in with Ed and Lorraine.
Oh, yeah.
And literally was there, you know, seeing it all happen as they were investigating the house. And just to hear those stories from people who saw them close up, those especially those legendary ones, it is so fascinating to hear what went down, because you have in your mind or you hear the lore of it over the years, but to have someone be able to just let it all out in a very laid back way is such an interesting perspective on cases like that.
You kind of have to go into listening to this, in my opinion. You have to go into listening to this with a very open mind because like you said, it's authentic. It's people, you know, and you can, you know, I'm sure you've been interviewing people for so long that you can tell when people are not being authentic if they're telling you a story, however it is. So
sure.
When you can hear it and you just can hear the trembling in the voice or the stumbling of the words because they're trying to – they have to relive this to a certain extent. There's something that you really have to have an open mind and just be able to accept, even though it might sound crazy that, you know, some of the stuff I saw at Villisca, that it just kind of makes me go, okay, I still can't believe it. I'm telling it because it's true. I'm telling it because it's worth for people to know. And that's something that's really, I think, very authentic about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. You go into the show and the goal is not to debunk something or try and, you know, explain away something. It's like, what was your experience? What do you believe happened to you? What happened? And that's all I want to hear. I don't need to go, well, did you think about this or that? Like, anyone can do that. I'd rather hear what the experience was and how it personally affected that person psychologically, emotionally. That's where the story is.
Do you have people who afterwards are just like kind of regretting that they went through that again, telling the story? Or do you generally get just like, yeah, I got it off my chest?
I have a lot where they've gotten it off their chest. I've had several where people are crying by the end of the interview. I'm not sitting there like, all right, let's make him cry.
You know, right. Well, but go ahead.
But just going through those experiences again, and then afterwards, I'll apologize. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, you know, get, you know, too personal or anything. They're like, no, I really needed to get that out. I think, you know, that really actually helped me to kind of work through it like that. So it's I think a good thing. I've never had anybody regret sharing their stories. And I always, you know, I always say, hey, if it's something you don't want to talk about, we don't have to. We don't have to dig somewhere that it's going to be too hurtful.
Now, should I read into anything that when we did mine, I wasn't crying at the end, but you were? I mean, what does that mean?
No, I'm just well, that's different. I mean, I was trying to get you to cry, and I'm thinking maybe next time you're on the show, trust me, you're going to be in tears. Just wait. No.
I had an onion. I was cutting an onion, you know, and that didn't work either. I have no emotions. I'm not going to lie. I'm a robot. So, but I think that do you ever have anybody coming back after? Because, you know, this isn't live when you do it. Do you have people come back and say, you know what, can you pull some of this out? I don't want that shared after all.
I have had that a few times, but it really wasn't necessarily because of them wanting because of something too emotional. It was more like liability. Where it was like we're talking about a case and that person is like threatening to sue us right now. So let's not air that. Or I had one where it was about an old haunted battleship and their tour guide gave the interview. And then the company that runs the battleship was like, we don't want to talk about this being haunted anymore. And then they were, you know, but that that's really about it. I haven't really had it where we've had a really good emotional interview that somebody said, please don't air that.
No. And I've run into those places too that suddenly we don't want to be recognized as haunted. Okay, sure.
Yeah, I had that. I had a place where like it was a really interesting interview about the haunted location. The property got sold. Interview was like 2 years prior. And they're like, you're on the air talking about my place and I don't want it viewed like that. Like, okay, but this was done before you were even, you know, even owned the property.
Yep.
But I mean, I respect that. And some people, you know, they want that change and they don't want that out there. And I'm fine with it. I'm not going to fight somebody, you know, if they don't want the story or the name of a building or something out there in that light.
Tony Bruschi is the creator of Real Ghost Stories Online, as well as The Grave Talks, The Dark Side of Wikipedia. Just so we know, the episode that I'm in for Grave Talks drops on March 29th. And you can find his podcast everywhere. Go to iTunes. And then also quickly, where's your Patreon site?
We have patreon.com/realghoststoriesonline and also patreon.com/thegravetalks.
Please support Tony. Tony, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
This has been Ghost Box Radio with Greg Bakken. Thank you very much for joining us. You are listening to the Progressive Voice of Minnesota, AM 950. Take care, everyone.